Earth, sky.
For me, all of the Arctic is a hope spot. I hope we'll get it right. We have one chance to take actions as never before in history, because never before have we had access to this immense body of water.
You're listening to oceanographer Sylvia Earle, and this is Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science. Dr. Earle is an explorer in residence at the National Geographic Society, former chief scientist of the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, and Time Magazine Hero for the Planet. She's been at the frontier of deep ocean exploration for four decades. She's talking about the Arctic, which is expected by scientists to become ice-free in the summer during this century. Sylvia Earle helped finalize a report on Arctic climate change released in early 2011 by the Aspen Institute and Prince Albert II of Monaco Foundation. The report, titled The Shared Future, underscores the global opportunities and challenges that exist in the Arctic now as never before. Dr. Earle spoke with Earth Sky's Jorge Salazar.
Dr. Earle, welcome to Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science.
Thank you. Great to be on board.
Thanks. Now, what would you say is the main finding of the Shared Future Report by the Aspen Institute Commission on Arctic Climate Change?
I think the finding underscores the opportunity that now exists as never before, because never before have we known the risks. Never before have we understood the impacts that the Arctic has on the world as a whole, as a driver of climate, of such broad issues as sea level rise, the state of the world, that it has a disproportionate impact on the world, given its relatively small size. It's crucial to many things, including the people who live there, the creatures who are at home there. This is a moment in history when we will take actions one way or the other, or inactions, but we humans will influence much that determines the fate, the future of the Arctic, the people, and the creatures who live there, and in so doing, with a global impact on all people everywhere.
In a nutshell, what is the future that we all share in the Arctic?
Well, the Arctic, as a place that historically has, during all human preceding human history, has largely been an icy realm with an impact on currents that in turn influences the temperature of the planet, now vulnerable because of the excess carbon dioxide in the atmosphere with a rate of melting that is stunning. 2007 was a year that just rocked the community of scientists who were observing this, when the amount of summer ice had disappeared, plummeted at a rate that was unpredicted, unanticipated. And during the years since, it has continued to decline, not quite such a startling drop as between 2006, 2007, but the trend itself is accelerating, and that is indication of how the planet is changing as a whole. The temperature rise in the Arctic is noticed faster than it is elsewhere. The feedback mechanisms, the decline of the ice means more dark water, which means that the impact of the warming is causing the melting to go even faster. A new transportation route across the top of the world is anticipated, not 1,000 years from now, not 100 years from now, but before this century is over. We don't know exactly when. The far-out projections are now being realized as closer to the present time. The impact for the people who live there, who, like the bears, like the seals, like the fish, like the under-ocean communities of life, all of this represents unprecedented change in a short period of time. Now, change is inevitable through all times, every day. Every day is different. The processes heretofore have been moving at a more stately pace, sort of a geologic pace. But the human influence on the atmosphere, on the ocean, on wildlife generally, we're now feeling this or seeing this an accelerated change that we have to adjust to. And that's how it impacts not just the people of the Arctic, not just the people of the Northern Hemisphere, but the globe as a whole is changing. And we see it in with clarity in the Arctic. And what happens in the Arctic affects the whole world.
And the Shared Future report highlights the importance of something called marine spatial planning. What is that, and why is it important in the Arctic?
Well, the Arctic is an ocean. The southern pole is a continent surrounded by ocean. The North Pole is an ocean, or northern waters. It's an ocean surrounded by land, basically. So it's entirely fitting that this come under the current theme of ocean spatial planning. How do we use this space? How do we protect it? How do we ensure that the value that we derive, a so-called free service from the Arctic Ocean to all people everywhere, is maintained and protected while the new demands, the new pressures to extract from it, to use it in other ways for shipping, for the extraction of ocean wildlife, the fish and other creatures that are marketable and therefore being viewed eagerly by countries who want to go fishing there, the potential for extraction of fossil fuels from beneath what is now ice-covered but soon will not be, or that even the ice-covered areas may be the source of sites for extraction of fossil fuels. There are great concern about, first of all, where it is, how to recover it, and if it is, in fact, going to be something that will be in the best interests of humankind everywhere to target these sources, given the risks that are associated with the extraction of fossil fuels, oil and gas, from the Arctic.
Now, you've spoken to Earth Sky and many others about what you call hope spots. What are hope spots? Once again, maybe you could we could revisit that, that this concept of hope spots. And are there hope spots in the Arctic marine environment?
Hope spot for me is any place in the ocean that is still in pretty good shape, that if we act now and protect it, it's cause for hope. It also refers to places that aren't in such good shape, like Chesapeake Bay, like the Gulf of Mexico, like many coastal areas of the world, because if we take action while we still have some oysters and clams and the other creatures that make up the living systems, there's cause for hope that we can recover them. We can't go back to what they were 100 or 1,000 years ago, but they can be better than they are by taking proactive measures to restore their health. All of the Arctic is a hope spot. I hope we'll get it right. We have one chance to take actions as never before in history, because never before have we had access to this immense body of water. We can blunder our way into it and do as we have in much of the rest of the planet without thoughtfully considering the consequences 10, 100, 1,000 years from now. Or we can learn from the past and be proactive about care. We can identify the most critical areas, the most vital parts of the system. That's certainly an obvious first step. There's a sort of the heart of the Arctic area that is basically the high seas, that is not the jurisdiction of any one nation. There is an opportunity for nations to agree that we're just going to leave that at least alone as a legacy, a protected area, like protecting the heart of the Arctic, the vital center of that area, and just agree to keep it in the bank as we deliberate and decide how individual nations will act on behalf of their interests within the parts of the Arctic that are under their jurisdiction. When we have so many questions, it would seem logical that we would move with great caution, especially knowing that it doesn't take much to really disturb and distress and destroy that fragile system.
Now, what is one thing that you want people today to know about governing and managing the Arctic marine environment? What is one thing that you really want to get across to people?
Most important thing for people to know about the governance of the Arctic is that we have a chance now to act to maintain the integrity of the system or to lose it. And to lose it means that we will dismember the vital systems that make the Arctic work. This is not just a cost to the people who live, the nations that are immediately invested. It's a cost to all people everywhere. And knowing that we have a voice, an opportunity, those of us who are on the planet right now, it's on our watch. We need to weigh in with our voices, make our concerns known, provoke our governments to act in a responsible fashion, to proactively really exercise care in terms of policies governing how we move forward, and to do everything we can to maintain the integrity of that system, given its immense value to humankind now and forevermore. Everyone, wherever on the planet you live, you have a vested interest in what happens there.
You've been listening to Sylvia Earle, explorer in residence at the National Geographic Society and former chief scientist of the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. This program was made possible in part by Shell, encouraging dialogue on the energy challenge. To subscribe to this and other free science interview podcasts, visit the subscribe page at earthsky.org. Earth Sky is a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.